have to leave by like 6:40 to have a bris Baruch Hashem somewhere I have to get to. Amen. Okay, let's go through the next Torah, because we were learning the Perish, but they pretty much said what the Perish already said, so let's continue. Page 141. When you have the exam, this is going to be the entire exam. It's just on this Torah, Memvav Beis. Kol ma'asha Adam masig binyan elakus u'b'chines malchus. Whatever understanding, grasp, a person is able to have of elakus. Thank you. It's all b'chines malchus. Av l'malim yizeh iyef shalahasi. It's all the beginning of Malchus, because higher than the Madrega of Malchus, Eev Shalahasi, it's not possible to comprehend. Our entire domain of Hasogya, of understanding, is in the world of Malchus and not higher than that. Let's see. It's one sentence, it's a lot, but we're not going to go into the Kabbalah side of it, just a simple pshat. Kol ma'asha Adam masig v'toyfes b'sichlo, b'inyin elokus. All that a person is capable of thinking about when it comes to Hashem, horak b'chinas malchus, it's only regarding the b'china of malchus. In that world of malchus, we tap into the koiches, the higher koiches of keser, of Chabad, of Chesed, Gvur, Tiferes, Netzach, Chayit, and Yesod. In our avoda, on the playing field, in the world of Malchus. But all of our Shakla V'tayas, all of our Pilpulim, all of our Hasagas, all of our thoughts and feelings are only in that. Only on that lowest grade of Elokus, or revelation of Elokus, which is Malchus. Higher than that, Eif Shalasi. Malchus, of course, is a sphere HaTachtana B'Yosir, is the lowest of the spheres. Dahainu HaOr HaElokhi, HaYared L'Slavesh V'Lifal B'Soy HaBriya, which is the Or HaElokhi that descends and is mislavish, is enclosed, and acts upon creation, and is revealed within creation. That's all. That's our world. Ours is the world of Malchus. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. That's our relationship with Elokus, is Melech HaOlam. Av l'mala mizeh iyev shalahasig. But it's impossible to comprehend l'mala mizeh iyev shalahasig. Peyush. Hasoga hasichlis of Elokus. One's intellectual comprehension of Elokus, aydei hezbeinus begedulas Hashem, by meditating upon the greatness of Hashem, the gedulas Hashem, eina evsharis elo behaora helokis, hamitztamtzemes lefi gidrei habria, is only in the realm of that godly light that is constricted and revealed within the gedarim of creation. Which is the kelim that a person has. The only kelim that a person can work with are the kelim of Malchus. But in that or of Elokus that transcends creation, it's not possible for a person to try to think about that and to understand it. It's not in the gather of Alman, of worlds, as far as we're concerned. It's not together Alman Klal. Me'ach shakol oylamas al yonim tachtoinim kulo kolechoshev kameh. Because all worlds, higher and lower, is kulo kolechoshev kameh. It's hakol nechshev ka'ayin lefanev. And The human being is incapable of relating to I into that which is beyond our way of thinking. It's not part of our way of thinking. Hashem didn't create us and wire us with the ability in the guf to be able to connect that. Even the biggest tzaddikim, even those in the neshamas of Atzilus, that they can't connect. There is some discussion in this form about certain exceptions to this, but it's not lefi our hasagas, so why talk about it?
Maybe is there a way to access higher realms, but not through hasaga, but through some other? In other words, is that the limiting term, that you can still access these things, but not through this idea of hasaga?
It's not. That's an important point. It's not the ikur is a hasaga to understand. But as far as being able to connect to have a connection with, without understanding, that we can transcend. We can go higher than that. And we are, Lamaisa, with our tefillahs and our brachas and so on. But that's a very, very big conversation in terms of our connection to Atzmus Ein Sof, to the Infinite One Himself, Kivyocho. That is something that's taking place. But our hasagas are limited. We can't understand what that means. So we're making certain connections, but we don't know what's there. But it's our tefillahs, our existence reaches me'eva, above and beyond. Our tefillahs, our nisyonos, our struggles, kivyochol touch the very essence, the very core, kivyochol, not to affect or to change, chas v'shalom. You have to be careful when talking about this, because I'm afraid to go into the whole inyan, but not our hasagas. Our thoughts, our way of understanding cannot possibly. That's really enough to say about this. Let's go right to 142. Hikshua Taisus. So now we're ready. This is Fashua Satira. And the other swarm that pick up on this. But Hikshua Taisus, Lama Hutsu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lichbay Sahar Al Yisrael. Taisus asks, in Shabbos over there, why was it necessary for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to hold the mountain over our heads, to threaten us, that if we receive the Torah, then fine, and if not, he's going to lower the mountain on us, he's going to drop the mountain on us. Why was it necessary that there be any coercion at all? Ha'amru me'atzma nasa v'nishma. Everybody knows this, the Kasha, and there's a lot written on this question. We said nasa v'nishma. We were very excited to receive the Torah. We said nasa v'nishma. So we were thrilled to accept the Torah. So why threaten us? Why frighten us? What's the reason for that? Perish HaBaal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov said this really, could find this, the side of this in the Maharal. But Pirsha Baal Shem Tov, Lekach Kof HaKadosh Baruch Hu Al Yisrael Har Kigigis, Lulamed Shagam Sheino Chayshik L'Torah V'Avedet Hashem. Because Hashem, of course, knew that in the future there are going to be many, many times when the Jewish people and Jewish individuals are not going to have a Chayshik at all for the Torah. They're not going to want the Torah. They're not going to feel excited about the Torah and so on. So what's going to be with those times? What's going to be the source of a Jew's energy to be able to push forward even when he doesn't feel like it, when he's totally unmotivated? What is it that lies within him that's going to bring him to shul, that's going to bring him to do a mitzvah and to learn Torah, to be a Jew that's connected to Torah on a day when there's no cheshek at all? So the answer to that is Kof Alem Har Kigigis. Now, why doesn't that work for every single Jew? Why is it that there are people that don't remember that, that don't feel that? For that also there needs to be emunah, there needs to be a rutzen to have at least that memory and that awareness that Hashem is holding a mountain over our heads. So that wasn't needed for that moment in time when we said Na'aseh Nishma. Back then we were excited on the first Shavuos, we were very excited and we wanted the Torah, but there were going to be many, many other times in the future where we're not so excited. And when a person is not excited, he has to remember that Sof Kol Sof, Yiddishkeit is not a matter of Na'aseh Nishma. That's a very, very wonderful thing. It's an ideal, but Sof Kol Sof is something that one has to do. One must live in this way, because without this, it isn't life. And that's the meaning of Kofel Emhar Kigis, that Hashem held the mountain over our heads, and he said that if you accept it, fine, and if not, you're going to die. Shantek Varaschem, you're going to be buried. It's not a physical threat that Hashem was going to wipe us out, was going to destroy us. It meant that deep, deep inside of a person, there should be this awareness that there is no other source of life. There's no other real way to live. You can go on living. The world is filled with people that are living without Torah and mitzvahs. You could breathe, you could live, you could go ahead with your life, but that's not called living. You're not going to really be alive. So Hashem held the mountain over our heads and he said, if you accept it, fine. If not, shantek v'raschem. It doesn't say, like the Svarim Ol Medaka, it doesn't say potek v'raschem. You're going to die over here because Hashem wasn't going to kill us. But he said, but Shem, over there, you know, 2019, in some little corner, someplace in the world, and you're doing something you shouldn't be doing, you should know that this isn't a life. It's not really living. You're alive, but that's not called living. Shem tekras Shem. Without Torah, a Jew has no life.
It's never meant physically, only spiritually, Lamish. The threat?
That's what it sounds like from the Svarim. It doesn't do I have any proof for that? I don't have proof other than intuition that there was not a threat to kill us. If you prefer to think of it that way, isn't it?
No, I always did. Now I'm realizing that the rabbi said people live without religion, and that's what he's talking about.
I don't see them dropping dead, do you?
Yeah, on a certain level.
They're not. If the threat of Nasa, if you don't live with Nasa and Nishma, you're going to die. So it should be that anybody that doesn't keep Torah Mitzvah, any Jew that doesn't keep Torah Mitzvah, should just die. I don't see people dying. I see people like anybody else. So nobody's dying. That's what the Svarim say. It can't be such a thing. If that wasn't a physical threat. It's a threat that means that you should know that this is the only way that you could really be alive. Without this, it's not called living. And that's a very serious. I'm going to use the word threat, but that's something which is very, very serious. To understand that and to believe in that without accepting the Torah is it's not life. It's not being alive. Mikomakom enu ben charon lebatel. Enu ben charon lebatel means that you should know that even though you don't feel like doing this, you're not a ben charon lebatel. You're not free to do whatever you want. It's not a matter of choice. Ultimately, it's not a matter of choice. If you don't feel like it, you can leave it. You're not a ben charon lebatel. It's the mitzvah of who you are. It defines your existence. You can't run away from it. It catches up with you. You can't run away from it, from being a Jew. That's who you are. So you don't feel like being that? There's a mountain that's over your head. And if you don't feel like it, remember the mountain. And if you forget the mountain, then you'll die. Which many people do. Again, it doesn't mean that you're going to die in the street. It means that you're going to die. And then the mountain falls on you. The person dies. It doesn't mean that he stops functioning biologically. It doesn't necessarily mean that he can't sing Yom Zemachubad either. But he's not alive. It's not being alive. Because ain't a ben charon lebatel. A person is not a ben charon. He's not. Yiddishkeit was not a suggestion that Hashem made to us. It's the It's v'charta b'chai means that you have a choice to live or not to live. This is the choice that's called life. If you don't choose this, you're not alive. Doesn't mean you're gonna, again, doesn't mean you're gonna fall down and die, but this is like it says in at the beginning of Chumash, Hashem Yisbach told Adam Rishon, "Kibiyama chalchem enim ma'is tamus." On the day that you eat from this tree, you're going to die. They didn't die. They lived a long time, way past Social Security cut off and all that stuff. They lived a long time after they ate from the tree. So why is there biyom achalchem yemenu? On the day that you eat from the tree, on that day you're going to die. They didn't die. It means that they chose death over life. And dying doesn't necessarily mean that your biological organs and all that stuff all of a sudden stops functioning. It means that you're not alive. It's not alive. Oh, hi, Moshe.
How does the simulation mind play? So a person has anshinim, so is that not?
That's something else. It's a different. It's a higher level of being cut off from who you are, or whatever that means. It's a more intense level of separation. I don't know how to explain. It's a good question. I don't know how to explain. Yeah. What?
How does it fit in with the rules of Pshat that they accepted only the Torah Shabbat?
It's a different pshat, no?
So I'm saying,
Tosha says a different pshat.
Why was that acceptable to Hashem that they didn't accept the whole thing? Because it's Shem Tiet Kuraska, and you have to accept the whole package, or it's not good.
It's okay, you could say all kinds of diunim and pilpum about that, since it wasn't known to them yet, and it was a fear of the future. But say that, I don't know, that it could be mefalful in that. But the ikur is the acceptance that there's something that's higher than yourself, and that you have to submit yourself to that. So there are different madregas, Torah Shebichsav, Torah Shebaal Peh, Chachmei Yisrael, and throughout all the generations, your own Rebbe, and so on. The different madregas. That's a discussion. It's a good question. It's a conversation. But the ikur is whether a person is signing up for the Yisod. The basic program 001 to be a Jew. And for that, the Baal Shem is saying, "Ein a ben charon le'batel." You're not a ben charon. It's not. If I've told you many times the famous thing from the Vilna Gaon, where there was a person who was there was some kind of a maskil, an apikaris of some sort, that came to the Vilna Gaon with questions, and when he sat down, so he had a glass, this person had a cup of water or something to drink from, and he started to take the water to drink, and the Baal Shem Tov said to him, you didn't make a bracha, you have to make a bracha. So this guy started to laugh, and he said, like, a bracha? That's like my biggest problem, is I don't make brachas. You know, I'm a Mechal Shabbos, I'm a Ochel Neveles and Treifas, I don't believe in Yud Gimli Karm, and that's what you're worried about, my bracha? So he was like laughing. He said to the Baal Shem Tov something, you know, not the Baal Shem Tov, to the Vilna Gaon, he said something like, so the Vilna Gaon said to him, that you have all of those demyonis, but the mitzvah is that you have to make a bracha. That's the mitzvah, you have to make a bracha. You have all these things that you're thinking, you have a lot of stuff on your mind, but you still have to make a bracha. You're like, same as I'm, have to make a bracha. You're not a ben charon, you think, just because you came to a certain conclusion. I told you years ago once that my daughter Shani, when she was a little girl, so she was, like many children, she was a big nasha, and she had a lot of nasha that day. I don't remember, a lot of nasha, and there was something in the cabin in the kitchen, and she said she wants to have, because she had that. I said, no, you already had enough, it's enough. Okay, that was the end of the conversation. I walk out of the room, and I'm walking, and I hear a little noise. I look back into the kitchen, I see she pushed the chair up against the counter. She's climbing on the chair to climb on the counter, and I walked in, and she was just about to put her hand into the cookie jar, you know what I mean? Like, right, she just was about there. And I walked in the kitchen, and she turned around, she saw me, and she goes, she just covered her eyes. She covered her eyes. Like, That if she's not, you know, if she, if, that means I went away. I'm just, she wasn't caught. I'm not there. You know, if she's not looking, if she can't see me, it means that I'm not there. And it's a cute little story, but it's pretty much the way that we live. We don't look, and we figure that if we're not looking, then he must be that he's not there. But he's there, and therefore you're not a ben charon libatel mimen. It's not a matter of choice. It's a metzias. A Jew is a Jew. I'm finished. It's a metzias. Ben charon li. Rak yasa bel karcha. And if you don't feel like it, the Rosh Hashanah said, then feel that there's somebody that's forcing you to do it. Yasa bel karcha. Force yourself, but there's something else there. That's the mountain over your head. And you should remember that and feel that mountain held over your head. Like a person who's being forced to do something, so too you should feel that way. Of course, this is something that's nowadays they say such a thing is, you know, heretical, that a person should do something he doesn't feel like doing, because you're not allowed to do anything if you don't have a cheshek for it. But that's the meaning of what makes us different. There's a mountain that's over our heads. Therefore, those Jews, that even the ones that are not Balei Cheshek and they schlep themselves to go daven or to do a mitzvah and so on, it's also something that's to be respected. It's not ideal, but it's a madrig, it's a big madrig that a person, even somebody who's unmotivated, this is a very big difference between how things are now and how they used to be. That it's not like Jews were, you know, like Jews were on fire 50 years ago either. Like if you walked into a shul, it's not like you saw people screaming and yelling and pouring their hearts out. You know, if you went into a shul 50 years ago, it was in many ways a similar type of a scene that you would find nowadays. Coming late, leaving early, davening a little bit, chapping a shmuz, it wasn't so different. The difference, but a big difference was is that they got the shul. They went to shul. Nowadays, you can see people, they call themselves Orthodox. They don't go to shul. I have somebody that casually told me last week, I was talking to a person, not from here, he was telling me that, you know, he's having a problem sometimes. You know, he doesn't put on tefillin every day. And I didn't want to show that I was shocked. I think it was like a regular frum guy. He said, no, you know, most of the time I do, but sometimes I don't. I think he doesn't put on tefillin. Well, most of the time, he says, he puts on tefillin. I'm thinking, what is that? It's like a regular guy. He went to yeshivas. It's like maybe 43, 44, something like that. Didn't tell me about any great theological issues that he's having or his life falling apart. It's just like it's hard, you know. I don't put on tefillin every day. What do you think about that? Do you find that shocking?
Many people have their thing that they should be doing that they don't. Whereas people don't go to Minchamar or don't doubt me. I give shachris. Minchamar, whatever. So that's the nice that Rabbi told over with, you know, the guy coming in the morning to the Gvir and saying, you know, I need a handout, and the Gvir says, come back to me in the afternoon and I'll take care of you, and then he doesn't come back. But it's the same thing. So everybody has a thing.
So I give love to be down the cuffs, because it's just that I grew up with a feeling that tefillin's like a really big thing. I know minchamarav. I understand tefillah betzibur. It's not the same as tefillin. It's like that's his thing. But I wasn't even so. I mean, if you tell me someone's having a problem with tefillin, I don't even know what's so hard. But even if he puts it on home for 10 seconds, but it was the way that he said it. It was the way that he said it. It was so casual. That's what I thought. He said it like, you know, I'm putting on. Sometimes I don't put on film. He didn't say it like, you know, I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm disappointed in myself. I don't know, something. It was like casual. And it like went on to the next subject. And I'm thinking, doesn't put on film every day. I don't know. That was something that I don't recall seeing when I was young. Maybe I'm imagining it, and I was naive, and I was just a kid, so I didn't look into things at all. I felt like, you know, that that everybody just put on tefillin. Maybe I was wrong then also. Maybe it was like that then. It didn't seem to me. It seemed to me there were certain things that were not negotiable. Mincha Maariv was negotiable back then, also with a lot of people. But coming to shul on Shabbos, I've had people that say that Shabbos, you know, had a hard week, things like that. Or I've had wives tell me that my husband doesn't always make it to shul on Shabbos. Did you ever hear such a thing? When I was growing up, I never heard of such a thing, that a Jew didn't go to shul on Shabbos. I never heard of such a thing, that somebody didn't go to shul on Shabbos. Every single Jew that I knew, I mean, there was Shema Mitzvahs, there wasn't a thing that he didn't go to. If somebody didn't go to shul on Shabbos, there was a whole committee that went to see what happened to him, what was wrong. But now I have someone, you know, he doesn't go every Shabbos. He's tired, he had a hard week. Doesn't go Friday night to shul. Doesn't go. I never heard of such a thing. No, maybe I'm being naive. I am naive. I don't know.
But if a person doesn't feel it, doesn't connect it.
Doesn't.
If a person doesn't feel it, doesn't connect it, but they shut themselves during the week, they should
You have to talk louder.
If a person feels belavachi during the week, they don't want to go. They
right.
Don't want to the cheshe.
Right.
And the hakagigas isn't working for them. All right. And so they come during the week, they don't come during the week. So Shabbos is just. Yeah, I mean, Shabbos is wonderful. I'm not in the program, okay?
I know you are. you're one of the leaders of the program. Okay, yeah.
So I get that if there is no connectedness, and that's why I come late to shul and leave early. So, okay, so Shabbos is more and should be better, and I should be more positive on Shabbos. But L'chaira, it's the same problem.
But it's only L'chaira. It's not. It's not the same thing. It's not the same thing. I don't know if I could to explain that. It's not the same thing. What the Baal Shem Tov is saying is that there are times that a person doesn't feel connected, and that's okay. That's to be expected. That's normal. The measure of a Jew is often how do you conduct yourself when you don't feel connected. And you wouldn't say that about a marriage. What if the guy says to his wife, she says, you know, I see on the phone that you have a girlfriend, and you went there last night to the girlfriend, and you told me you were at work. He says to his wife, I don't feel connected. Or he doesn't show up. You know, she's meeting him in the city to go to a fancy restaurant for the anniversary, and he said, I'm not feeling connected. Would a person be able to even say such a thing and get away with it in a marriage? No. Because oftentimes the measure of a person is what do you do when you're not feeling connected? That's what this Torah is about. How do you conduct yourself when you're not feeling connected? That's a very big thing, and it seems to me that in our generation, that there's something here that's taking a shot. There's something here that's malfunctioning. I'm not blaming anybody. I'm not blaming the people that are. It seems to me to be a change. I'm not blaming anybody or whatever. But it's a change. Something. When you don't feel something, so then you disengage. I have this all the time. People tell me, "You read this." We talked about this 1,000 times. So they say, "You read this," so therefore what? And could you get away with that in your marriage? To tell a wife that I had a ureter, that's why I went. So I went there and I did this and I did that. I had a ureter. You had a ureter. You had a ureter. If you're working in a company, and you don't show up another day, and they call you and say, "What's the matter with you?" So I'm having a ureter. Never a ureter. Stay home. You're finished with it. Having a ureter, it doesn't work anywhere. How you are during a ureter is an important thing. When you don't have a cheshek, what do you do when you don't have a cheshek? How do you act when you don't have a cheshek? That's a very big thing to see who a person is when you don't have a cheshek. When you have a cheshek, it's a great shachar. When you don't have a cheshek, that's a big thing. Yeah.
Isn't this the flip side of, when I was coming off a lot of Gomer, where there's so much more, we see that so much more. So when you don't have that, it used to be everyone just put on tefillin, and you didn't feel it as much. When you have the people who have a connection, so then when you don't, you just feel like you're missing so much more because that lack of connection is there. So you stop. And that's
what, you know. People have much bigger expectations.
Of that connection.
Yeah, which you see in marriage as well. Right. So when in the earlier years, when people didn't have these big expectations this is the romance of the century, so when it wasn't going so great, so they knew them. They stayed on the program. But now when it's got to be like, I'm expecting my marriage to be logged by me every day, and it's not... You know, It's sometimes Tisha B'Av, and it's so then the person just says, yeah, that's it. You know, I'm done. It's not. Or they use the lashon, this doesn't work for me, right? This doesn't work for me. Have anybody tell you when it comes to Yiddishkeit that this doesn't work for me? That I never knew that was supposed to work for you. I thought you're supposed to work for it. But it's now there's a thing that doesn't work for me. It's because say that to you. I wasn't even talking about young people. There are a lot of young people that are sitting in yeshivas and then not putting on film when they're off. That I had many conversations over the years. Yeshiva Bochum, that they're not putting on film, that they're not. That they're just when they're not on the officially when they don't have to be somewhere, they're totally off. They're completely off. But I'm talking like about a 40-year-old guy that has kids in yeshiva and that went, it hit me in such a strong way. But again, it was more the way that it didn't seem to matter that much. It's like, remember once when I was a kid, there was a comedian, I don't know if he's still alive, but there was a comedian and he was saying, he began his shtick by saying, I can't put my finger on it, I'm just not feeling so good, like, something's bugging me, I'm not myself lately. So his friend asked him, well, like, what, did anything happen to you? So he says, no. He says, like, what was, like, for instance, what was yesterday, or what was your day like? So he said, it's a regular day, I got up and I did some exercise, and then I picked up my girlfriend, and we went to we made up we're going to go to the mall. And we went to the mall and we had an argument in the parking lot and I shot her and then I went into the store and I did some shopping. And he just had like in the middle of the, he had the middle of the, so we had an argument in the parking lot and I shot her. And then I went to the, and then I went to the store and he's trying to figure out, like, I don't know, something's bugging me. I'm not sure. The way he said it. And I shot her and I didn't put on tefillin. I just, what's bothering you? It's a,
and then another
shot
of Harkigi is the
chuppah. That's the connection. It is. It's a makif. It's a chuppah. It's that something that's higher than your own cheshik that keeps two people together and keeps somebody together with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. Yeah, that was the chuppah.
How does this connect with the original idea, which I didn't understand so well, the malchus? And the sphere.
That's what, that was a different Torah. We're not talking about that Torah now. This is Mem Vav, Mem Zayin. I'm sorry. Let's see. Hikshu Taisus Al Divya Gemara. Shabeis Nesinus Hatorah Liyisrael Kof Hakadosh Baruch Hu Harkig Yigis Vamalhem Imatim Mekalim Hatorah Mutav Himlav Shom Tehek Rasim. You're gonna die if you don't. Over there, you're gonna die. Lom Hutzoch Hakadosh Baruch Hu Luchvayis Ahar Liyisrael. Why did Hashem have to hold the mountain over our heads? Ula Achvicham Lekabelas Hatorah Shaloyim Mitzayim, that we should, against our will, that we should. To force us, you have to force us. Ha'amru me'atzma, nasev nishma, v'skim l'kabos ha'tor, mitzvah, we're happy to have the Torah. You wanted it. Pirish of Hashem Tov, Shachein, Pu'ula Zu, Shal Kriyas Yisrael, lo'y nitzuch el'shaita, it wasn't needed for that time. Kabos ha'tor had to take place in such a way. El'kach, kof ha'kadosh baruch, wa Yisrael ha'ki gigis, l'lamed lekach l'doy yedoy, v'shagam misha nimtza b'matzav, sh'en ha'chashik l'tor, v'avadis Hashem. Even if you don't feel like it, you're not a ben chor to be free to just leave it. We lift our atzma, we limit our Torah, not to learn. Because a person could think, what's the point of putting on tefillin if I don't feel like it? What's the point of davening if I don't feel like it? What's the point of keeping mitzvahs if I don't feel like it? Of learning if I don't feel like it? There is a point. The point is that's who you are. That's your life, and without it, it's not called living. You don't feel that there's any point to it. Just do what you have to. Ela gam b'matzav kazeh, yas ezayis bal karach, to continue doing it even though it's against you, well, even though you don't feel like it. Let's look at footnote 7. B'seif ma'amar melukat hikshal inyan zeh. He brings from the Lubavitcher Rebbe Akasha, L'chayra amirasam nasev nishma hi his chayvus al kol azmanim. The L'chayra, when he said nasev nishma, that was mechayiv us for all future times. U'may ha'kasal kadaitech da'al yidei sha'acharkach after his chayvus en ha'choshig yeh ben chayin li'botel. Why would anybody think that No, so when we said, isn't Nasa Benishma like a complete and total commitment? Why would I think after I say Nasa Benishma that I can get off? You know, if I don't feel like it. Nasa Benishma is a commitment. You sign up for something, you shake hands, you sign a contract, you're in. So later on, you're not going to feel like it. So Nasa Benishma was a commitment. So the Rebbe asks, so why would anybody think? Why was the Kasalka Daitach that you're not going to be chayv, that you've been charim? Vatir, so yesh leimah. Habib said, there's chayvus the Nasa Benishma. That is chayvus of Nasa Benishma. Since it comes from the human being, and the human being is mugbal, a person is limited, is mugbal. Sometimes, even though he made an agreement, just like in marriage, sometimes because a person is finite, he's a human being, so he's not going to live up to his commitment, even though he knows that it's a commitment. So he won't be able to be misgarbi. He won't be strong enough to overcome this lack of motivation. He's going to feel like a ben charon, not that he intellectually thinks that he's a ben charon. He knows that he's not. Just like everybody intellectually knows that he has a commitment to this marriage, but it's not working for him. It's not that commitment. So that Hashem held the mountain over our heads, that gave each and every Jew, the Rebbe saying that gave each and every Jew the ability to tap into something within himself. There was this memory of something from long ago, deep inside a Jew, that gives him the ability, meaning of the mountain, that gives him the ability to pull himself to shul, to pull himself to put on tefillin. The Rebbe explains, in the times of Golus, and especially in this last generation before Mashiach comes by Ikvus of the Mashiach, at the end, there's a tremendous, tremendous hestaponim, a tremendous concealment of Hashem at the end of time. There are such halomis and hesterim that the person himself, gama idea kabbalas olshalo shemakabler b'tzano, even though he officially is on the program, and he officially is committed to living an Orthodox Jewish life, a kaven shuhmudbal, because at the end of time there's such a hester upon him, and the person is so limited, ein biyacholtel gabalein. Even though he does believe in Nasa v'nishma, and he sees himself as somebody who is committed to Nasa v'nishma, and he would be horrified if his children didn't come out to be Jews that are keeping Shabbos and mitzvahs. But still, v'zeh Yisrael misgarbim gama halomis v'asteim eila, that a Jew is able, at the end of time, to be misgaber, to be strong enough to overcome such unbelievable concealment, such darkness. It's because the bittul, it's only when a Jew is mevatel himself to such a degree to Hashem, where his kabbalah soul, his acceptance of Yiddishkeit, is lo mitzad ha-metzias shalhem, it's not mitzad how I feel and my metzias, el mitzad ha-elukus. It's the reality of Elokus, which is a mountain over your head. Hashem has chosen us to serve him. And he's assigned us with this service. We've been assigned. This is our mitzvah. This is who we are. L'gabi Elokus ein hagbalas. And if a person signs up in that way, so then l'gabi Elokus, the Rebbe says, there is no hagbalas. If you connect to, if you commit to Yiddishkeit because of the elokus of Yiddishkeit, not because of feelings, but the elokus of Yiddishkeit. Elokus is infinite. You know, that will get you to shul even though you don't feel like it. But if you're signed up, because if your consent form is, you know, as long as it interests me, as long as I can, if I'm able to, and so on, all of that stuff, so then that doesn't necessarily get you to do the right thing. But if you're signed up because self-to-self, I'm the Kabbal Al Malchus Shemayim because Yesh Bori Olam, Mani Kol Olamus, and he created me to serve him, then that infuses a person with with koiches that are without any gvul at all. I could take you even if you're not well, and even if, God forbid, you, whatever it is, could still somehow bring you to keep on going and to keep mitzvahs. Like we see Jews of Mesiris Nefesh, that we see, especially from the old generation, Jews of Mesiris Nefesh. They didn't have more of a cheshek. It's not like those Jews came to shul and they started crying with them, and it was Lag BaOmer. They ended up in shul. How did they get to shul? It took them a long time to get to shul. It was with big Mesiris Nefesh to get to shul. That, because the Kabbalah soul wasn't because of feelings, it was because of a mitzvah of Elokus. So that's what gets me to shul, not how I feel. Yes, yeah, sorry.
Was Nasa ben Ishmael a chutzpahdik response? Should they
have, I'm sorry?
Was Nasa ben Ishmael a chutzpahdik response? Should they have just said,
like, we see that the Malacha, that all the Hashem Zbog said, Migila Razulubana, who revealed this great secret of my angels? Sounds like it was beautiful. Hashem is very, very pleased with that response. But like it often is with great responses when you're excited and you're at that moment. That the Baruch Shalom was like it says, he had one eye like this and one eye like that. The Baruch Shalom said, okay, let's see if you're feeling like, you know, if you feel the same way, you know, later on, you know, when things are not so posh, it's not so clear, and there's no special effects, there's no fire, there's no Anoche Shel Mokecha, let's see if you're going to be able to say now seven Nishman. And we can, but it's a lot harder. Please be mindful, I have to get the Simcha and Hashem. So you have a little bit of time, try to use it in a good way.